Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
827 Sports Radio, 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard on this Tuesday night with some news to talk about. Joe Flacco signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. 1 year, $3.5 million. The former elite quarterback. I loved when Joe Flacco said that, by the way. He was doing a radio interview in Baltimore, actually on a station that I hosted on for a little while back in the day. I wasn't there then. But he was doing a show. I don't know, it was like an hour long, you know, come out to this bar and Joe Flacco's here doing the show. And I don't remember exactly what they asked him, but they kind of said, do you put yourself in the class with those guys as elite quarterbacks? And he said yes. And then he went out there and won the Super Bowl that season, which is probably the best. I don't know if there's ever been anyone who played their hand better than Joe Flacco for one particular season. I mean, think about it. Like, Dak Prescott was on the way to doing it in a big way. Then he got hurt, right? It didn't work out for him. What a great contract year. He still got paid. But Joe Flacco went into a contract year, opened the year by calling himself elite, and then he went on to win the Super Bowl and forced the Ravens to pay him way more than he was worth. But whatever. He's a veteran now. He's an older player. And I like the idea of bringing him here as the backup quarterback. It'll solidify that quarterback room behind Jalen Hurts. It gives them a player that if they need to put in for whatever reason, especially if there's an injury to Jalen Hurts, who is a running quarterback that's now going to play 17 games potentially next season, you have it. You have another guy there that could play. So I'm in on the idea of Joe Flacco here as the Eagles' backup quarterback. 215-592-9494. We'll do mock draft Bandy in a second. And also on Joe Girardi. First year, I didn't think it was a good one for Girardi as Philly's manager, and I thought it was disappointing to watch a guy that was hired to be a difference maker not really make any difference. And I'm going to call him the X factor for this season because I believe the Phillies will be better. They obviously handed him a better bullpen to work with. Dombrowski, with all the moves he's made, they look like they could be decent or better down there. So it's on Girardi now. Like, the tools are there to work with. There should be a competitive team. And, you know, hit the buttons he pushes and how he pushes them will go a long way into whether or not this team could compete all the way to the end for a playoff spot and be over 500. Both of those things should happen. And if they're not, it's going to be disappointing. Do you believe Joe Girardi had a good first year as a Phillies manager? I don't. 215-592-9494. Mock Draft Mania coming up. First, we chat with Joe in Chalfont. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on there, Joe?
Joe, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, brother, I'm doing good. And, hey, let Tucker know, my bad on not asking him how his night's going, man. You guys have a great show.
Well, thank you. Well, let's ask him. Tucker, how's your night going?
Well, it's going better before he snubbed me earlier.
Yeah, you snubbed him, Joe.
Oh, my bad, bro. My bad. You and Tobias.
We're back on track now.
Company, I guess.
That's right. Joe, what are you thinking here? What's on your mind?
Hey, real quick. So, I agree with your Eagles points, man. I love Joe Flacco, and I definitely think that Pitts is the pick, and that's not just because I'm an Abington grad myself. I just think he is really dynamic. I also think if he's not there, then Chase is good as well. So, I mean, I definitely agree with you on that. I also, though, wanted to point out something that I think we got to pay attention to, especially this year. A lot of these pro days, they're not – so at the combine, they use an electric timer, right, which gives you your actual 40 time. Anytime, Joe, you see someone with a hand timer doing a 40, it's wrong. The hand timer has a miscalculation of anywhere from 0.21 to 0.3 when you're doing a hand timed 40. So I just want to make sure, like, you know, bring some attention to that, because some of these guys who are running 4.4 on a hand time, they run 4.6 or 4.7.
Yeah, it's not exact. I mean, you're totally right. It is off. It's kind of the natural, you know, it's just human error. It's going to be off by a little bit. And so today, Joe, a receiver from Purdue, Rondell Moore, he at his pro day, he did a 4.29, which obviously it's not official. It's like you're saying. And I was reading an article, and they were like, listen, if this had happened at the combine, it would have been one of the 10 fastest times ever. But we can't count it because exactly what you're just saying.
Correct. So I think when we're talking about different players, especially corners, I know people want Patrick Surtain. Patrick Surtain ran a 4.46. You put in that actual time on electric timer, his 40 time is the same as Rasul Douglas's. And we saw Rasul Douglas in coverage when he was up against speedier wide receivers. And we already struggle with that. So, I mean, I personally think we go offense. And I like that our guy Pitts ran it on an electric timer. So, you know, his time is legit.
Yeah, and he's a freak. I mean, he's a local kid, which is a cool story. And I look at him every time I watch a highlight of Kyle Pitts, Joe. I want to see him in an Eagles uniform more and more.
Absolutely.
Joe, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. You can ask Tucker how he's doing next time. He'll be here. He'll be here next time you call in. No worries. All right, you know what we do every time around this night? Speaking of the draft, we do a thing called Mock Draft Mania, where we talk about the latest mock draft somewhere around the internet. And today we had our guy Mel Kiper Jr., his latest mock draft. What is this? Is this mock 3.0 for Mel? Mock 4.0?
I believe it's 3.
All right, 3.0 for Mel Kiper, and we had ourselves a doozy here. The number one overall pick, Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson to Jacksonville. Number two, the Jets go with Zach Wilson, quarterback, out of BYU. Number three, we have ourselves a trade. And this trade feels like it's becoming almost commonplace for mocks. Like, we don't know what the compensation is. We don't really know which quarterback they're going to get. But the trade seems to be, in a lot of these mocks, that the Carolina Panthers are moving up from 8, trading with the Dolphins, who seem like a pretty obvious trade-out candidate. Unless the Dolphins believe Ja'Marr Chase is so good you can't pass him up. Or they don't believe in Tua and they want to draft another quarterback, they really make sense as a trade-out partner. So with that, the Panthers trade up from 8 to 3 to take a quarterback, Justin Fields out of Ohio State at number 4. Now, this would mark the first time in the history of the NFL that this happened. Quarterback goes 1, quarterback goes 2, quarterback goes 3, and quarterback goes 4. With the number 4 pick in Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Trey Lance, quarterback out of North Dakota State. Now, before we go any further, this would be, without question, the dream scenario the Eagles have to be hoping for, because it pushes, I mean, effectively, if you believe the Eagles don't want to take a quarterback and they really want to give Jalen Hurts the year and go forward with Jalen Hurts as their guy, this effectively means the Eagles have the 3rd pick in the draft. Because if quarterbacks go second pick in the draft, excuse me. If quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, and they didn't want a quarterback anyway, that means they have the second overall pick of non-quarterbacks. They could have their choice of anyone but one player, obviously whoever the Bengals go at number 5. So in Mel's mock, with the number 5 pick, the Cincinnati Bengals select Kyle Pitts, tight end, out of Florida. Man, could you imagine the tight end being the first non-quarterback selected? I mean, that's got to have never happened.
No, and it shows the increased value on that position. Yep. I think a lot of people see them as matchup nightmares in the modern NFL, and all you really have to do is go look at the tight ends who've played in the Super Bowl the last 3 years. You have Rob Gronkowski, you have Travis Kelce,
yep.
You have George Kittle,
yep.
You have Zach Ertz, you have Rob Gronkowski. You have probably the 4 best tight ends in football over the last half decade, and those are the guys who have represented, you know, their teams in the Super Bowl.
That is interesting, because I remember last year when we were talking about receiver in the first round, and I made the case that the number 1 wide receiver is overrated. And I remember we talked about how infrequently star receivers won rings. Think about the best receivers in the NFL the last, I don't know, 20 years or so. How many of those guys have rings in their fingers? Not many. Mike Evans just got a ring this year, so we could add him to the list. He's had a prolific start to his career. But guys like Julio Jones, Marvin Harrison, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, they all have nothing. I guess Brown got one this year as a bit player on the box. But previous to this year, it was a whole bunch of zeros on those guys' fingers. So the receiver thing, it's not led to championships. Let's just say that. But Pitts goes number 5 to the Cincinnati Bengals, leaving the Eagles on the clock with a surprise on the board with them. So with the number 6 overall pick in Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver out of LSU. Now, we don't have to make the case why Chase is a good player or why, you know, it makes sense that if he keeps falling, the Eagles could be interested. It will be. What got Tucker all up in arms today, and I happen to agree with him on this, is not who the Eagles selected, it's who they passed on. And that would be Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle, left tackle out of Oregon. Now, we've had a million of these mock drafts we've looked at, we've talked about them, we're doing the mock draft mania every night. I'd say in almost every one of them, in fact, I think in every one of them, Penei Sewell goes in the top five. So it's like he's not there for the Eagles to have to debate or go against or go for. He's just not available. In this draft, he was there. And the Eagles took a wide receiver over the best left tackle in the draft. I would say that the pick would get the fan base excited, and I would also say the pick would likely be the wrong one. If Penei Sewell's as good as people think he is, Penei Sewell should be the pick. He should be the pick. He's left tackle. He's got
Well, what's interesting to me, and you mentioned, I mean, it's pretty much been him going to Cincinnati, right? Like, yep. Sewell to Cincinnati, pretty much as we kind of joke about Kyle Pitts coming here and him being the obvious choice, Sewell to Cincinnati is something I think we've probably seen in 98% of the mock drafts we've looked at. But to leave him on the board at six, if you're the Eagles, not only does it make zero sense to me, but it makes zero sense in the idea of this is a franchise who values linemen. This is a franchise that has handed out big money contracts to their center, their right guard, their right tackle that they used the fourth overall pick on 8 years ago. They used the first round pick on their left tackle 3 years ago. Howie Roseman has said time and time again, the Eagles have said time and time again, you build from the lines out, and with no elite pass rusher really in play at six, if Penei Sewell is there and they don't run the card up within 30 seconds of being on the clock, I have an issue with that.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't make any sense. And look, if the Eagles are going to build around Jalen Hurts, here's a way you could do that. You could build around Jalen Hurts with Penei Sewell and Isaac Seumalo as a young version of the left side of your line for years to come. Maybe some of those guys drafted last year, Driscoll, Herbig, become players. And all of a sudden, as this line ages, it doesn't have to fall apart, which is everyone's fear, that they're going to age quickly with Kelsey and with Brooks and with Johnson. It's going to get bad. It doesn't have to. Like, they could, and I think last year they already started between Herbig and Driscoll. I mean, they have some reinforcements here. Maybe Mailata's a real player. Like, all those guys could still be part of it. You add Penei Sewell to that mix, all of a sudden it's like, wait a second. Maybe the line won't just get bad overnight. Maybe they'll just be good and different a year from now.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. The three guys that you're really counting on to carry this unit, they're all over 30. Two of them are coming off pretty severe injuries, and the third one pretty much flirts with retiring every 6 months or so. And I know Jordan Mailata, people tend to like him, and he's super popular, and technically Andre Dillard is here, but you certainly can't count on him for anything. But if you go into next season and Jordan Mailata is your third tackle, I think that's an ideal spot for him. He played both tackle spots last year. Nate Herbig is, I think, at best a depth piece. I mean, I don't understand how you can look at what happened to this team on the offensive line last year and not think more depth couldn't hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it actually would be the right thing to do. Now, look, if Penei Sewell goes number two or number three or number four or number five, what are you going to do, right? Like, I'm not suggesting the Eagles should be trading up and giving up a future two or a future one to get this guy. But if he falls in their lap, I mean, the tackle is more valuable. And plus, how many years do we have to hear about how great of a receiver class it is? I know the Eagles have struggled taking receivers. But, I mean, there will be players there. What, they have the 37th pick? Is their pick in the second round? 37?
37 or 38.
Okay, but they have a high pick in the second round. There will be good receivers there, too. Maybe as good as Ja'Marr Chase? No, they probably not. But there will be good receivers there where they can improve that position after taking Penei Sewell. I almost think that when Mel was doing his draft, like, no one's actually thought about the idea of Penei Sewell to the Eagles. No one, because it's just assumed he wouldn't be there. But if he's on the board, yeah, I mean, I would think he has to be the highest rated player. He has to be. He's the left tackle.
And I don't think it would be close. And not only is he just the highest rated left tackle, I mean, the kid doesn't turn 21 until the middle of the next season. He's allowed just one sack in his 2 years of playing in college. He opted out of last season, but I think he's allowed one sack in 11 total hurries in two seasons playing in the Pac-12. I mean, this is a guy, and I know we got excited when Andre Dillard was drafted and that kind of fell apart, but I mean, he's the guy that you can envision plugging in at left tackle, and you can forget about that position for the next decade.
Well, I mean, they did that with Lane Johnson on the other side, and it worked out. And it really, the Eagles haven't had legitimate worry at left or right tackle in a long time. I mean, Peters has been in and out of the lineup, but, you know, I mean, Peters, for a long time, you knew he'd be the guy. You just wondered how many games he would actually get to play. And Lane Johnson, until this past year, there's really been no worry other than suspensions and nonsense if he was going to be a good player since 2013. I mean, the Eagles have had been blessed at the tackle position, I mean, for the better part of years and years. I mean, the days of Winston Justice, that was a long time ago. Like, they've had good play at the tackles for the most part for, on the left side, 15 years, on the right side, 8 years. Like, that's, they've been able to sleep well at night, and Penei Sewell would help them sleep well at night again, because right now, they can't be. They can't be with Lane Johnson coming off a collapsed ankle and whatever you have at left tackle. It's a concern.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the best teams are always built with the least amount of question marks. And I think even though Kyle Pitts may have a higher ceiling, and there are probably some other athletically raw guys who have higher ceilings, I can't imagine anyone stepping in and having a bigger impact than Penei Sewell on day one. I think he has the highest floor of anybody in this draft.
I agree with that. Yeah, 215-592-9494. So the Eagles go with Ja'Marr Chase. Now, just to kind of round this out, how this top 10 went and where Penei Sewell landed, this is the mock from Mel Kiper today. So he had the Eagles go Ja'Marr Chase at number 6. Here was the rest of the top 10 and how it played out. Number 7, the Lions go Devonta Smith, wide receiver, Alabama. Number 8, the Dolphins, who traded down in this draft with Carolina, they go with Jalen Waddle. So it goes Pitts, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. At number 9, this is where Penei Sewell lands in Mel's draft. He has the Vikings trading up because they can't pass up the idea of this guy somehow falling down the draft. They trade up with Denver. They go to 9. They draft Penei Sewell. And then at 10, the Cowboys select Patrick Surtain, the cornerback out of Alabama. So, I mean, yeah, if somehow the Eagles let Sewell go by, you would think someone would either pounce right away or someone would trade up. Like, that guy can't fall to the top 10. I've seen some mocks where he's the second pick in the draft or third pick in the draft. He's that good.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is, I mean, if the Jets stay at 2 and they're committed to Sam Darnold, with Penei Sewell, even though they took Mekhi Becton in the first round last year. I mean, this is just a guy that I can't imagine it if he falls to 6, and I still think that's highly unlikely, but if he falls to 6 and Howie Roseman doesn't pounce on him, I have a huge issue with that. I really do.
You know what this draft is starting to remind me of? If people start naming who they think the best players are going to be, I think you're going to hear a lot of Kyle Pitts' name, Ja'Marr Chase's name, Penei Sewell's name, perhaps Trevor Lawrence, right? He's one. But I've noticed the more that the quarterbacks pop up near the top, no one is saying Trey Lance is going to be the best player in this draft. He's just a quarterback. No one is saying Zach Wilson is going to be the second best player in this draft. He's just a quarterback, so he has more value. Remember the 2018 draft? What was it? Was 1 Baker Mayfield? 2 was 2 Saquon Barkley, or was he 3? Him and Darnold were 2 and 3. I believe Saquon was number 2, the running back, and then 3 was...
Yeah, when Baker, Saquon, Darnold, then Denzel Ward went 4.
Right, and then eventually Josh Allen went.
Josh Allen went 7.
Lamar went later on. But
he went 32. Rosen went 10 between them.
Who were the other guys in the top 10?
So Baker, Saquon, Darnold, Denzel Ward, the cornerback for Cleveland.
Pretty good.
Bradley Chubb, who made a Pro Bowl. He was hurt this year, didn't play. Quentin Nelson, who has 3 first-team All-Pros. He's probably the best player in that draft. Went 6th. And Josh Allen. Roquan Smith, who had a breakout year with Chicago last year. And then Mike McGlinchey went 9. He's a local guy.
So yeah, there he is, a Philly athlete. Couldn't you see, Quentin Nelson could play the role of Penei Sewell in this draft. And let's say Micah Parsons, the linebacker at Penn State, he could play the role of Roquan Smith. Feels like quarterbacks are going to get pushed up, as they always do. And good players, maybe great players, are going to start slipping a little bit. Maybe that's Kyle Pitts. Maybe it's Ja'Marr Chase. Maybe it's Penei Sewell. Parsons, who knows who the guy is going to be that pops and becomes a superstar. But this happens. Quarterbacks start getting pushed up the draft, and then other good players fall down. 215-592-9494. Let's check in on the Pulse of the People with Joe Flacco. By the way, Joe Flacco put up an Instagram. You see it here? He put up an Instagram post, rooting for the home team again. Hope I could find this shirt. Hashtag go birds. Hashtag fly eagles fly. And it's a picture of Flacco with, I imagine, his brother. I think his name is Mike Flacco, also a quarterback. And they've got to be, I don't know, 7-5, 7-4, or, you know, maybe 6-3 in this picture. They're little kids. And Joe Flacco's wearing an Eagles shirt. So is his brother. Matching Eagles shirts in this. So Joe Flacco's coming home. Audubon, New Jersey to Delaware, a Blue Hen. And, you know, a long career. Joe Flacco was drafted in the first round in 2008. This will be his what?
I think this is 14th year.
14th year in the NFL. You know what's interesting about Joe? Joe Flacco has an interesting personality where he never seems like he cares that much. But, I mean, obviously there's a desire and a passion to play the game. He's played for so long. He just never seems like he cares. And I didn't know if he'd want this life as a quarterback. I assumed when he was done in Baltimore, and I guess I really should say when he was done in Denver, because he got traded to Denver after Lamar Jackson took the job. Actually, the 2018 Ravens had a lot of Eagles similarities, and they were better. But, like, you know, they draft this project quarterback in Lamar. Eagles draft one of Jalen Hurts. And, you know, it didn't take long until they made the switch, and it became Lamar's team. This became Jalen Hurts' team. But when they traded Flacco to the Broncos, he was the starting quarterback, and then he got hurt, I believe, and he lost the job. I just thought he'd retire. Like, he made over $100 million. He never seemed like he was that into it. I was like, you know what? He's not going to be that guy who bounces around from team to team and is a backup. Why would he do that? And yet that's exactly what he's been. Jets and now the Eagles. Either Joe Flacco loves football more than I assumed, Tucker, or he loves money as much as anybody.
Because it certainly may be the second one. It is odd because he was never really painted as that. Like, I think Joe Flacco was pretty much, he was maligned for most of his career, even though he had a lot of success up until he hurt his knee. I think that was his second to last year in Baltimore. He tore his ACL, and that kind of led to the downfall of him eventually getting replaced by Lamar Jackson. But, I mean, this is a guy that had five double-digit win seasons in his first 7 years in the NFL. He never had a losing season until he was 30.
I don't think anyone has more road playoff wins in the history of pro football. Like 7 or 8 or 9. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that's won, and he's done it all, and he has that wealth of knowledge, right? We talk about how, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick can be that guy for a young team, and where Josh McCown can be. You know what they've never done? They never played in the postseason.
Nope.
They've never gone to the Super Bowl. They never lined up across from Tom Brady and Foxborough and beat them. They never lined up across from Peyton Manning in the postseason and beat them. Like, Joe Flacco is far more valuable when it comes to that kind of experience, that kind of knowledge, adding that to the quarterback room, as much fun as Ryan Fitzpatrick may be. Joe Flacco, I think, I don't know if he's a better quarterback, but as a backup quarterback and as a fit in that locker room and in that quarterback room, I think he's far more suited for this role.
Yeah, I'm in. I like it, and I think Joe Flacco will do a good job, and odds say he's going to get the play. I mean, at some point, if Jalen Hurts continues to run the football as much as he did last year over a 17-game season, I would say the odds are that Joe Flacco has to play. Backup quarterbacks always seem to have to play behind mobile quarterbacks that run, and especially ones that take hits and poundings like a Jalen Hurts did last year. And I will feel comfortable if Joe has to come in and play some snaps. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. On the other side, we will do a Clearwater check-in. We'll talk to Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad on the Phils 9 days away. The center field job, not over yet. In fact, the competition actually just might be heating up. And JT Realmuto made his debut tonight, his Grapefruit League debut. How did he look? We'll talk to Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP.